You're listening to a Dom and Jeremy podcast. Your boys in the morning on Mix 100.
Hey, real quick.
What?
Josh is here.
Oh, is he sad? Is he crying? Is he still crying?
He is the biggest Avs fan in Colorado, and I'm looking at him right now. He's been sulking ever since he got in here. He's live, die, breathe, Avs. And I go, "You okay, buddy?" He goes, "It's just a game. It's just a game." I'm like, uh-huh.
Inside, just, he's churning.
He's dying inside.
Oh, my God.
Poor buddy.
And we all know that feeling when your team makes the playoffs and then you get eliminated, and then your brain does that thing where you start thinking about how it's going to be, you know, months and months and months before you see your team again.
My guys. Yeah.
Although now, well, let me see, July, August, it's probably like 4 months. 120
days. They'll be back
days.
before you know it, Josh.
Yeah, they'll be back.
So anyone that calls in today, you know, Josh is our producer. He answers the phone. Just give him some words of encouragement or something today, okay?
Yeah. Don't be snarky to him.
Not at all. He's not in the mood.
He will hang up on you, and we don't want that because we refuse to let any producer hang up on a listener.
Yeah. So
don't tempt him.
Cheer him up. Tell him a joke or something, all right?
Got a mind bender in 30 minutes. Have a No Filter Friday in 1 hour at 8 o'clock today. We're going to do No Filter Friday and give somebody a pair of Jonas Brothers concert tickets. That's at 8 o'clock. Somebody just now heard that, and they're like, what?
Don't call now.
What is that?
Don't call now.
No, not right now. Jonas Brothers tickets at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Here with your boys in the morning. Quickly, before we get into your entree, I have to say something about this article. I was writing about this for the Mindbender Club mailer, and it needs to be addressed because it's Friday, and everybody wants to go out and have a great weekend. And so there's somebody who is a, what do they call themselves, some sort of like weekend expert or a lifestyle expert. That's what they are, a lifestyle expert. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the hell you get that title thrown onto your business card. Hi there, I'm Dom Testa. I'm a lifestyle expert.
Oh, tell me more.
So wrote this big piece about how to have the perfect weekend. What's the recipe for a perfect weekend?
Mm.
Let me just quickly. This will take 20
seconds. A pinch of lemonade.
Avoid work email. Spend time with family and friends. Go outside. Exercise. Enjoy good food and drinks. And do something you love. Wow. Thank God we had a lifestyle expert to tell us that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Do something you love.
Avoid work.
Enjoy good food or drinks.
And go outside because it's warm.
Thank you, lifestyle expert. They submitted that article to some publication. The publication went, oh, my God, this is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the weekend is basically here. We hope you find a way to make it absolutely perfect.
Dreamy.
Jeremy, tell me about your problem
in your neighborhood. It's funny because speaking of being outside, one of the things we loved about our neighborhood when we moved in about 2 years ago is that it was filled with kids. So our kiddos are now able to be outside all summer, and they're running up and down the street and playing Nerf wars and getting the pools out, and they're having the time of their life. And it's great because we can kind of shove them outside, and then Nicole can get work done. I can get some stuff done in the afternoon, and, you know, everything's great. It's starting to backfire on us just a little bit because we have some potty mouths in our neighborhood. So my kids are, Reed'll be 10 here in a few weeks, and then little Lila is 6. But there's also some kids in the neighborhood who are 13, 14, 15 and a half, you know, going on 16. And they're still running around with everybody, too, if everyone's outside having a good time. Well, the problem is Reed has been down the street with some of these older boys, and when he comes home in the evening and starts talking to us, there's a lot of questions that come out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. A lot of questions about, sexual-related things in nature, and he'll repeat bad words and slang and wonder what all of this means, and we're like, gulp. Because a lot of it is making me blush, and I'm like, I am not going to be explaining this to my, right now, 9-year-old.
Does he say stuff like, what does this word mean, and am I using it in the proper context?
No, right. Here, let me use it in a sentence. No, but he will say the word, hey, what does this mean? And we're like, what?
Whoa.
And it's mostly Knick-Knack who's getting the brunt of this because he's a little mama's boy like I am, and he talks more to Nicole about this kind of stuff. So she's getting hit with these words, and she's
Does she say, go ask your father?
She quickly makes up something like, buddy, I got to get on a work conference call real quick. Let's talk about this later, or I'm right in the middle of an email, you know, and she really brushes him off. And then he goes about his day and really doesn't think about it much more, but... The problem is these words are coming up, so we're trying to figure out how to curtail the interactions with Reed and the 14, 15, 16-year-old boys in the neighborhood. We don't know how to do it.
You can't do that.
And I don't think we can do it, can we? There's no way if they're all running around together.
Listen, my friend, this is a rite of passage for both Reed and the older kids. It is a rite of passage. And we all, at least I do, I definitely remember hanging around where there were kids who were just, you know, 2 to 5 years older, and they school you on a lot of things. That's just throughout history. That's how children learn.
I mean, I get it.
Parents love to think that they are the dominant influence in their children's lives, and this is going to really upset some parents. But I'm here to tell you, you are not the dominant influence in their life.
I know, and I don't like it.
I'm not saying you're not an influence and you're not a great influence. That's not what I'm saying. But kids, they are influenced by their peers.
Absolutely.
They always have been, always will be. And that's how we grow up.
We're starting to see that. You know, he's more interested in going out and talking to the boys and hanging out with the boys versus being with us. And I think, you know, I get it. I was there too. You know, I was saying bad words when my parents weren't around and stuff. I think what's hurting us the most is the innocence is starting to slip away. You know, it's your little kid who's sweet, who's innocent. And then he's coming home asking about these words that I'm like, how are they using those words, you know?
Yeah, what's
what's their context? I'm not 100% sure that the older kids even know what they're saying. They're just spouting off.
No, they often don't. Yes, exactly. And like I said, this is a rite of passage for both sides of it because Reed will reach that point where to him, he feels like the big shot when he is schooling kids who are a couple of years younger than him.
Right.
It works both ways, and we were all that way. Because then you get into show-off mode, right?
Sure, like, you do.
I have learned this, and so I remember when I was in second grade, and there was a vacant lot near our house, and some kids had dug a fort into the ground and then covered it with plywood, so it was like an underground fort.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go play in that.
In the process of digging the fort, they dug up. I don't know who went to this field and buried this. Maybe kids, you know, years earlier, but there were a whole bunch of naughty magazines. And I remember the older kids, you know, thinking it was hilarious, kind of schooling us first and second graders on what they had found. And it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I was like, I remember kind of running home like, I can't believe what I just saw.
The 15-year-old boys were like, you'll grow to love it. It'll be fine. Don't run.
That's right.
Come look at this.
You know, and I also was we rode the bus to school a lot when I was a kid. And we lived for a couple of years over in Italy, in northern Italy. And so to get to the American school, it was like a 35 to 45 minute bus ride every morning. And then on the way back, and the older kids on the school bus, that was like where they held court. Right? Because they're away from their parents, they're away from the teachers, they've got all of us kids on the bus, and they can kind of school us on what they have learned, whether it is about sex, whether it is about smoking, whether it is about cursing, whether it's about anything.
Anything, yeah.
And we are just captive, you know, we're a captive audience.
Sitting there all wide-eyed.
Yes, and I'm sure it gave me food for thought when I got home. You know, I would process everything that I had heard.
Yeah. Now, did you go to your parents, though, and ask about what you had heard? Do you remember any of that?
I don't think so because I didn't. Because I think you often get a sense that you know when you're hearing this from the older kids, you know it's not appropriate.
Yeah.
And with my dad being the first sergeant, I didn't even want to take a chance of crossing that boundary.
Right.
So I just kind of I might have talked about it with my sister. She was 18 months older than me, and I might have run a few things by her.
Uh-huh.
hey, Donna, what's...
what's this? Then you feel even weirder because you're talking to your sister about it.
Right. Do people really do this?
That? Never mind, don't answer.
Well, good luck.
Thanks, man.
I don't personally think that you should limit his exposure.
I don't know how we would even do it. So,
you know, if he's coming to you guys and asking about it, that's really good.
It is good. That's why Nicole's like, you know, I guess we should probably sit him down and explain a few of these things.
So yeah, draw him a few pictures.
At least he's getting the right answers.
You're an artist. Sketch it out for him, why don't you?